So anyway, welcome this morning. It's great to have you this morning. It's a joy to have each and every one of you. You guys just, it's just an honor to have you here. By the way, we're in week five of this series right here, the one that Jesus loves. So why don't we do this? Why don't we begin with a word of prayer? So if we just want to bow our heads together, and let's just ask that God's word would speak to us this morning, and that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open, that the Holy Spirit will be at work in these moments together. And let's just pause. Life is fast, isn't it? We're always moving. And if it's fast, it's just the pace is just all over the place. But let's just relax today. Let's just pause for the next 30 minutes. And let's just allow us to create some margin, some space for God to work in our lives. Father, we just thank you for this moment in time, in a week of our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you would be in these moments, that you would speak to us. And Lord, I just pray for those who are just going through challenging situations right now in their lives. I just thank you, Lord, that you're there with us when we're on the mountaintop, but you're also with us when we're in the valley of challenge and struggle. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just meet with people today. Lord, I just sense that there's some people going through a struggle. There's a weakness. And I think of Paul when he was going through his struggle, his thorn in the flesh. And, Lord, I remember him praying. And I remember you, Father, speaking back to him and saying, Lord, it's in his weakness that's when your strength is perfected. And, Lord, we just draw our strength from you in times of weakness. We draw grace to see us through. Not our own power, but your grace sees us through, and we just thank you for that today. We just thank you for the church that's the hope of the world. And Lord, we just ask, God, that this church would bring hope to each and everyone that's here this morning, that this church would bring hope not only to us sitting in this room today, but would bring hope to this community, that we would be a lighthouse, that we would be a beacon on a hill, that people would see you, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So in this series, The One That Jesus Loves, we're in week five, okay? And what we're doing is we're taking a look at there's six circles of relationship that surrounded Jesus. So I want you to kind of get this in your mind, imprint these circles in your brain, the six different circles. And what we're doing is we're working from the outside and we're working into the center. And in the center is where we find Jesus, okay? So up to this point, let me do a quick rundown. We've looked at these four circles. We've looked at the crowds, and we discovered that the crowds were probably literally tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people came, and they were coming to get their very, very first glimpse of Jesus. They heard about his teachings. They heard about his healings, his miracles. So people were just coming from all over just to see Jesus. Who is Jesus? The crowds, okay? And we're big into creating crowds here at our church. I do want to give you a report, and that is this last Wednesday evening, in our crowd, we had 72 students show up. Isn't that awesome? You guys aren't so thrilled about that, but I am. 72 students, okay? And on top of that, we had a tornado warning. Okay, and how many people know when you have a tornado warning, you go to the lowest level? So we all went in, we were actually already eating, but we just extended that time in the basement, and it was just a lot of fun after eating. We had praise and worship music via video, and the kids were dancing around and jumping around, having a great time. And I want to let you know, if you ever need an energy boost, okay, you don't need five-hour energy. I'm highly against that, by the way. What you need is you just need to come here on Wednesday nights and just put your hands on top of those kids' heads, and the energy fusion comes into your body, and it's pretty powerful. So I want to encourage you, Wednesday nights, and you say, well, Mike, what's the goal for the kids who make up the crowd? I want you to hear this very carefully. What's the goal for the kids in the crowd? Well, the goal for the kids in the crowd are the same goal that I have for all of us here this morning. And that is that we're drawing people closer to Jesus. I want those kids, wherever they may be spiritually, to be drawn closer to Jesus. And it's true of you, wherever you are spiritually, I want to let you know that Jesus is calling you closer and closer because he wants to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with you, okay? Then we looked at the 5,000, which was probably about 15,000 when you included family members. And we discovered this represents those who followed Jesus to places of blessing. They were coming, they were receiving healing, they were being fed the fish and the loaves. And what we discovered on this day is we discovered that Jesus wants you to have a relationship with him where you feel comfortable bringing your needs to him. Amen? How many people know you can bring all your needs to God? I think of the verse in 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. He's a God that says, hey, I know you're going through these difficult, trying times. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I can take care of these things because with me, all things are possible. Here's the danger, and I didn't bring this up. The danger of living in the 5,000 is this. How many people know we can fall more in love with the blessings? And falling in more in love with the blessings instead of the one who gives the blessings. Amen? How many people know that all your blessings are from God? James says every good and perfect gift comes from everybody together from God. So I want to encourage you, if you're being blessed, don't fall in love with the blessing. Give thanks for the blessing, but fall in love with the one who is the giver of the blessing, and that is Jesus. So let's just give a shout out this morning. How many people can say, I am blessed and I have a lot to be thankful for? Raise your hand. How many people can say, yay, God? Yay, God. Let's give God a hand clap this morning, all right? Woo! Amen. All of our blessings, I think of the roof over our head, the cars we drive, the food we eat, just the abilities that God gives us. Those are all blessings from God, and we want to give thanks to the crew. No, we don't want to live in love with the blessing. We want to live in love with the one who gives us the blessing. Then we looked at the 70, and we see that these are the people that they move from this place of observation to now they move in a realm of participation. And this is where you get out of the stands, off the sidelines, and you get into the game. You step into action. You say, Jesus, what is it that I can do to advance your kingdom? I want to be a kingdom builder. And this is where your life takes on significance and meaning and excitement when you start saying, God, I want to be a part. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want it to be all about me. How many people know that when our lives get inward focus, we dry up pretty quick, right? But when our eyes get outward focus and we say, God, how can I be used by you? And I'm not only talking about in this church, I'm talking about wherever you go, your home, your family, your school, your workplace, saying, Jesus, I want to be a kingdom builder. I want to be a part of what you're doing. That's when life gets really exciting. Then last week, we looked at the 12. How many people enjoyed it? I said in my notes, we rocked the house last week with the 12, and this is where we discovered these 12 disciples, where they left everything behind, and they made a choice to follow Jesus, okay? And we talked about when you enter this place of the 12, it's not about, hey, Jesus, follow me where I'm going. Jesus, be in my life. But you're saying, no, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. In each and every decision I make, I'm going to say, Jesus, what do you think? What do you want me to do? So it's in the 12 that we're getting closer. We're getting more intimate. We're saying, Jesus, I'm decreasing. You're increasing. It's your agenda, not my agenda. And I don't know about you, but that's a daily choice. And sometimes multiple times during the day, I have to say, okay, Lord, I got to stop. I want to do my own thing here again. But Lord, help me to pause and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So I want to encourage us as we're getting closer to the circle, the center, Jesus, we're realizing what? Every one of these circles, the number's getting smaller and smaller. Fewer and fewer people are going on the journey. We start with tens of thousands, then we go to 5,000, then we go to 70, now we're down to 12. And now today what we're going to do is we're going to look even closer. We're getting closer to the center, and we're going to see that the circle's getting smaller to the point today we're going to look at the circle called, everybody say it together, the three, okay? And by the way, this is the reference to Jesus' inner circle of disciples, his inner circle of disciples. So remember, last week, we see that Jesus goes to the mountaintop. He chooses 12 guys that are going to follow him, going to leave everything behind. And these 12 guys are going to engage in life with Jesus. But even within that 12, How many people know that Jesus had, could we call it, three favorites? Is it okay to say that, three favorites? Some people would be saying, oh, I wasn't one of the favorites. But anyway, he had three that got even closer to him, and they had deeper levels of intimacy, deeper levels of friendship. They saw things that the other nine didn't even see, okay? So who are the three? Don't answer it out loud. I want to do this together. The three, first of all, is made up of a guy named Peter. How many people remember Peter? He's one of the three. And actually, I love this because Jesus, by the way, is going to give every one of the three a nickname. I like that side of Jesus. We always see him as serious, but he's handing out nicknames, okay? And one of the nicknames he gives to Peter is the Rock. Okay? So I want to let you know this, that long before Dwayne Johnson was given the name The Rock, okay, Jesus gave Peter the name The Rock, okay? Is everybody with me? And I want to let you know, by the way, that was me on Tuesday. I got a little sick, so I'm kind of, but anyway, Jesus didn't give Peter that name because of physical physique. He gave him that name because of his character, because he had a job for him to do. So let's move on from that picture because the ladies are having a difficult time. So let's move, okay? Okay, should we pray for sanctification now? Lord, help us, okay? Some of you are like, I can't believe you showed that in church. But I tell you what, this week I said I was doing an assignment for myself, and I was thinking about this question. Who do I want us as a church to be? And one of the answers was, I want us to be a place where we have fun. Amen? Amen? I'm sick of church being a place where people think, well, we got to be serious and somber. I have fun everywhere else I go this week, but when I come to church, I think church should be the funnest place because we got the greatest Jesus, amen? And we're in his house, so if you don't want to have fun, there's other churches that aren't having fun. I don't want you to leave, but maybe you have to go to a less fun place. We're going to have fun here, amen? So look at your neighbor and give him a high five. Woo, five. Okay, some of you are like, I like fun, but this is over the top, okay? So who were the other two? Let's look at the other two. The other two were brothers that made up the three, and their names were James and John. Their dad was Zebedee. And how many people know that Jesus gave them a nickname, and their nickname was the Sons of Thunder? How do you like that for a nickname? Sons of Thunder, meaning passion, okay? And one thing I like about Peter, James, and John, and that is that all three of these guys had a lot of things in common. And one of the things they had in common, they were bullheaded, they were competitive, they had explosive personalities, they were very passionate, they were aggressive. So I think when a lot of people think of disciples, you were thinking about blonde hair, blue eyes, blue dress shirt, khaki jeans or pants, and you were thinking about ho-hum, boring guys. Well, I want to let you know, you don't understand Jesus' group. Jesus' group was guys who were bullheaded, competitive, explosive, passionate, spoke out of terms, did radical things. And here's the thing about the 12, or the three this week that I was thinking about, that fits a lot of us in this room. You know what I mean? I know because I've heard about how you guys watch sporting events. I've heard how some of you compete in sporting events. I know how some of you respond at work. You guys are very competitive. You guys are in your face, and you know how to raise your voice, and you know how to speak out of... Does anybody know how to speak out of turn? I want everybody to listen to me because I'm really serious right now. You're that way out there. How many people know God wants you to be that way for Him? Amen? God's not looking for you to clean up your act and you be the blue blood of society. He's looking for anyone, whosoever will. And He'll do His work in your life. He'll smooth off the rough edges. And I tell you what, church should be for rough people, amen, fun people, people who are aggressive. And that's what we need in the kingdom of God. We need aggressive people. You say, I don't believe these guys were aggressive. Well, let me share a story with you real quick. There was one day where Jesus wanted to go into a certain village. But before he went to this village, what he did is he sent some messengers. And he told the messengers, you go ahead and you prepare for my arrival, okay? And then what happened is one day when they arrived in the village, the people of the village did not accept Jesus. Can you believe that? People in a whole village said no to Jesus. They kind of shunned him. And when Peter, James, and John, when they heard about this, they ran up to Jesus and they asked Jesus this very passive question. They asked, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" Some of you don't get that yet. Read it again. "Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" I mean, these guys weren't like, "Jesus, should we pray for them? Pray that their hearts will change, that they'll be good boys and good girls." These guys are abrasive. "We want to call down fire from heaven. God, just burn them up." Does anybody have anybody in your life like that? You just say, "Lord, call down fire, burn them up," okay? But anyway, Jesus rebuked them, so I'll rebuke you too, okay? So let's move anyway. So here we go. By the way, if you're going to battle and you want three guys to be in a foxhole with you, these would be the guys that you would want with you: Peter, James, and John. They make up the inner circle. And I want to let you know, these three guys had a front row seat to some incredible events in the life of Jesus. And they were the only three that had front row seats to some of the events we're going to look at, two of the events we're going to look at this morning. The other nine didn't get to see in on these things. The 70, the 12, the 5,000, the crowds, they didn't get to see the things that we're going to look at this morning, but only the three got to see these events. And Jesus was doing this on purpose. He was preparing them for what laid ahead in their lives, because he knew that he was going to use these three in powerful, powerful ways. But in order to prepare them when he would leave, he would have to say, "Hey, you got to come on a journey, just the three of you, and you're going to have to see some things, just the three of you, because these things are going to help you after I leave. They're going to prepare you for what I have in store for you." How many people know that God doesn't waste anything in your life? About two people. Let me say it again. How many people believe that God doesn't waste anything in your life? That he can use all things to work together for your good. The joys, the sorrows, the hurts, the pains. It's how we respond to those things that God can use in our future for us and for the sake of others. So let's look at two events that the three got to look in on. They had a front row seat. How many people have ever heard of this event? It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Has anybody ever heard of that? Well, open your Bibles. Let's read about it this morning. We're going to read about it. It's found in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 2 through 8. So when you're there, say, "I'm ready." Wow, you were quick, okay? Here we go. Let's look at this event, the three disciples and Jesus. I'll read it. You follow along. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took, here's our boys, Peter, James, and John, and he led them up a high mountain to be alone. So it's the four of them. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed. So they're seeing something crazy happen to Jesus. And his clothes became dazzling white. And I love the writer, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Verse 4, two other guys show up. It says, then Elijah. How many people remember the prophet Elijah? And Moses, the Ten Commandment guy. They appear and they begin talking with Jesus. And I love Peter. He explained, "Rabbi, it is wonderful for us to be here." Better us than the other nine, by the way, okay? He says this. He said, "Let us make three shelters as memorials. We'll make a shelter for you, and we'll make one for Moses, and we'll make one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say. Have you ever been there before? For they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." I don't know about you, but I think from this point on, they didn't have a hard time listening to him. Amen? When a voice speaks from the cloud, and then it says, suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. And then they go down the mountain, and Jesus says, hey, by the way, you three, when you go down there, you can't tell anybody what happened up here. You don't tell them till after I'm raised from the dead. That's when you can share this story, okay? So what I want us to see here, this is a pretty incredible event, and that this, and what I want us to see, and before I share that, I love Peter's response, by the way. I love that he says, it is wonderful for us to be here. I mean, just can you imagine, you are one of three people that gets a front row seat to see Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. It's wonderful for us to be here. So what I want us to see here, that this is a moment of great joy. There's great joy in this moment. These guys are probably, they're like, wow, can you believe that we were privy to be in this situation? I mean, they had a front row seat to God's glory. And that's all I want you to keep in your mind as we go into the second story, is that this was a moment filled with joy. This was a moment that was high watermark, mountaintop experience. Okay, I don't want to jump ahead, so let's look at the second event. Has anybody ever heard of this event? It's called the Garden of Gethsemane. Have you heard about that before? The Garden of Gethsemane. Let's read about that story. It's in Mark chapter 14, and it's covered in verses 32 through 42. And I want to read the whole portion of that scripture because I think it speaks so highly for itself. It said, they went to the olive grove called the Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He's saying that to all 12, by the way. Sit here while I go and pray. Verse 33, we're told that he took, look at the names, Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled, and Jesus became deeply distressed. So please get this in your mind. This is a very, it's a moment of suffering in the life of Jesus. He knows what he's preparing for. He knows what lies ahead. He's deeply troubled. He's going through a very hard time. Don't raise your hand, but has anyone here ever gone through a hard time before? Distress, just of difficulty. He told them, he told Peter, James, and John, my soul is crushed. This is Jesus, guys. My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. And he tells them, stay here and keep watch with me. I want you to hear the passion. Jesus is saying, guys, I'm ready to go into a difficult moment, and I need you to be with me. Don't miss that. I want you guys. That's why I called you to come up with me. I want Peter, James, and John, I want you to be with me and keep watch. Verse 35, he went on a little further, and he fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass by. Does anybody know what that awful hour he's talking about is? It's called the cross, his crucifixion. Verse 36, he says, Abba, meaning daddy, father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. Then he returned and he found his three buddies asleep. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for your spirit is willing, but your spirit or your flesh, your body is weak. Then Jesus left them again and he prays the same prayer. He prayed the same prayer as before. Verse 40, when he returned to them again, he found his supporting cast sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them a third time, he said, go ahead, guys, I give up, sleep. You have your rest, but know the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Let's look. My betrayer is here. I don't know if you caught that, but twice in these verses, we see Jesus and he's wrestling, inner turmoil. I don't think we often see that side of Jesus. We see the power, we see the signs, the miracles, the wonders. We see opening blind eyes, ears, casting out demons. But in this moment, there's anguish, there's wrestling, there's struggling. And you say, what is he struggling with? Actually, if you read the text carefully, he's struggling with God's will. Okay? So what was God's will for Jesus? And that's it right there. God's will for Jesus was the cross. Jesus knew the torment that would take place at the cross. Not only physical torment, but it would be the first time that his Father would turn his back on him. Why? Because he turned his back on him because he took all of our sins upon us. And God couldn't look at the sins that were placed upon our sins that were placed upon Jesus. Isn't this incredible? And what we see is Jesus is just, he's struggling. And I think we think he wants to run to the cross, but we're seeing the human side of Jesus. We're seeing his humanity. He's fully God, fully man, and we're seeing the physical struggles. And I don't know about you, but I like a visual illustration. So Chad, can you help me out real quick? Chad, you'll stay on this side, I'll stay over here. Because I want you to be able to go home, and Chad, would you take that all that way? So what I see in this passage is this picture of Jesus. I'll be Jesus for this illustration. And Chad will be the will of God, the cross. And what I see Jesus just struggling. Father, please, Lord, I don't want to go to the cross. If it's possible, take this cup from me. And there's a tug of war going on. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there before with God's will in your life? Has anybody been there with God's will in your life before? There's a tug of war. God, I know what you want me to do. I know your will. I know the cross. I know what it is you want me to do. But inside, I'm not ready. So Chad, thank you so much. You'll come back in a minute, so just stay right there in the front row. And you say, well, it wasn't really much of a struggle. Well, I'm here to tell you different. It was. Luke records the same story. And look at how Luke describes the struggle. Let's look at the verse. We're told in Luke the same story that his sweat, because of the struggle, became like drops of blood. Has anybody ever been in that intense of a situation? It says his sweat became literally like drops of blood falling to the ground. I mean, it was a moment of great distress in the life of our Savior, a life of pain. So what I want you to see here is simple, that the Garden of Gethsemane is a place of great suffering. It's a place of great struggle. It's a place of suffering and struggle. So what I want you to see in these two stories, is that the three, Peter, James, and John, they experienced two extremes. Their first extreme is the joy. They got the joy of the Mount of Transfiguration. It was like, Jesus, it's great for us to be here. This is awesome. Life is good. No one else gets to see this. This is amazing what you've let us in on. This is so incredible. My life has never been better before. But how many people know that the disciples or the three often, they also experience this extreme, and that is the suffering, the struggle, the Garden of Gethsemane. So what I want you to see here this morning, we're only going to be about two or three more minutes. I want you to see something that really related to me this week. And that is, we're all on a journey. We're all on a spiritual journey. And we're all on this journey where I think there's some people that really say, hey, I want to get closer to Jesus than I've ever been before. We've been a part of the crowds. We've been a part of the 5,000s. We've even entered into the 70. Maybe we've even gone into the 12 where we said, Jesus, I'll leave everything and follow you. But I want to let you know, on your journey, as you want to get closer to Jesus, I want to let you know I'm going to experience two different extremes. And I want to let you know, as you say, Lord, I want more of Jesus. I really do. I realize this life isn't all there is. I realize that everything I've been chasing isn't really worth it. But I want you, Jesus. You're the pearl of great price. You're the one worth going after with all my heart. But if that's you, I want to let you know you're going to experience two extremes. And that is, first of all, there's going to be times in your life where you're going to be filled, because as you get closer to Jesus, you're going to experience great joy. And you're going to feel his presence, and you're going to get excited. You're going to experience Jesus in ways you've never experienced. Why? Because as you get closer, Jesus begins to reveal more. And he begins to let you in on more, and he begins to trust you with more. And you're getting closer, and you're like, wow, Jesus, I never knew this could be so good. And there's going to be mountaintop experiences where you're like, wow, why didn't I come closer to Jesus earlier than this before? And I want to let you know, as you get closer, these moments are going to become more frequent. Wow, I get to be in the presence of Jesus. It's good for me to be here. I wish other people could be here. But I want to let you know, as you're on this journey, there's not only going to be the joys, the transfigurations, but I want to let you know, as you desire to get closer to Jesus and press in, there's going to be times where you have the Garden of Gethsemane experiences. That's going to be times when you experience the sufferings. And there's going to be struggles. And it's going to be very, very difficult. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? You're going to get both. I don't know about you, but I'm only want to sign up for the joy. Give me the Mount of Transfiguration. Yay, Jesus, this is awesome, but I want to let you know it doesn't work that way. Because the ultimate goal is that Jesus wants you to become more like him. But in order for you to become more like him, it's not just one, it's both. Are you hearing me this morning? It's going to take joy. And Jesus wants to show you some things. He wants to show you more about yourself, how he wants to use you. And it's going to be, you're going to get giddy. It's going to be fun. But there's other times when Jesus just takes you through what you could call the wilderness experience. You could call it a place of suffering. And there's going to be times, Chad, if you want to come back, there's going to be times in your life where God's will's over there, and you're going to be over here in the same struggle that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Come on, the same struggle that took place in Jesus. To do God's will is going to take place in you. Thank you, Chad. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's going to be times where God is going to call you for, maybe there's a change that he wants to take place in your life. And you're going to be over there saying, God, I don't want to change. And that change could be in 101 different areas of your life. And you're saying, I'm cool over here, God. And God's saying, no, Mike, I want to take you deeper. I want to take you closer. And there's going to be a tug of war. And there's going to be times where God, maybe he wants to call you to a change of a job or a change of a living location. It could be 100 or a change of whatever. And then there's going to be other people who want to change, and God's saying, hey, stay put. You know what I'm talking about? God, I really want to change. It'd be great to move. It'd be nice to change something in my life. It'd be nice to change a spouse, a church, where I live. I just need to change, God. And God's saying, hey, that's not what I have for you right now. And there's going to be a tug of war, and it's going to be suffering. And some of those things that God's going to call you to are going to cause you to stretch and grow, and there's going to be difficulty, and there's going to be times where you're going to be uncomfortable. But in this journey, what we're trying to do is get to the center. And the center is we want to get closer to Jesus. And Jesus is looking, who are the people that are ready to experience greater joy? Who are the people who are willing to even suffer and challenge and go through tough times? So let's just bow our heads this morning. Are you here today and you're currently experiencing one of these extremes? Maybe you're here today and you're experiencing great joy. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give thanks to God. Amen. I want you to say, God, it is great for me to be here. You got me in a great spot, Lord. Let's just do that right now. You don't have to do it out loud, but if you want to, you can. Let's just give thanks to the Lord for where he had, for the good things that are happening in our lives. Let's do it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for showing me new things about you. Thank you for the great joys. And I just thank you, Lord. But there's going to be other seasons in your life. There might be people here today that are suffering. And you're being called and you're being challenged and you're being pulled. And you know God's calling you to himself, and you know that there's a tug of war going on in you. There's suffering. There's struggles. What do you do in those times? You do what Jesus did in the garden. What's that? He prayed. He prayed to the Lord, and he surrendered his will to God's will. If you're here today and you're going through a season where it's struggles, and you want somebody to pray for you, I want to encourage you, at the end of each and every service, we have prayer teams up front. And we want to allow the opportunity for people to come and to pray. And we believe that our prayers will make a difference. Amen? So right now, let's just pray corporately. And if you want to start coming, that would be great. And you just want somebody to pray for you. There's power in agreement. Amen? There's power when somebody can be there with you. And we can join forces in the name of Jesus. So if you're here today and you're going through just anything in your life and you just want to say, hey, I want somebody to pray for me. I just want you to come. So Father, we give you this time at the end of the service this morning. And Lord, we just ask God that you'd be at work in people's lives. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. God, that you want to draw us, each and every one of us, closer to you. That regardless of where we're at, God, regardless of where we're at in our journey with you, you're calling every one of us closer. That's how much you love us. You're calling everyone, regardless of how long we've been in Christian circles, you're calling every one of us closer. And God, you're revealing more of yourself. And Lord, we just thank you for this time today in this service. We thank you for your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.